What I want to do this morning is to talk about alcohol and drugs. Now, I know that I'm preaching to the choir because you're not that kind of people. But at the same time, with regard to our website, it's going to be heard, hopefully, by a number of people that might be tempted by this. And so we want to do some thinking about drugs and alcohol. I want to preface this by saying that if I were not a Bible believer, if I didn't even believe the Bible, what I've seen in my family and in America convinces me that alcohol and drugs are evil. I wanted to put down on the overhead this morning, I had a list of men and women, the before and after pictures, before they took drugs and after they took drugs. It is truly amazing at the difference of somebody who's after they've used drug and how they've gone to seed and how so many things are troubling by just looking at them compared to what they have been before. Having drugs and alcohol is detrimental in so many ways on so many different levels that we need to really understand that. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning verse 19 through verse 21, the Apostle Paul said, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like." And so by inspiration, we're told that these things are evil, and we have to recognize there is an evil in the world today. In 1 Peter chapter 4, there's a very telling scripture that we'd want to look at. Peter said, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." I want to look at three of these as we consider that, because some people would say, well, one drink doesn't hurt, but they've got three different degrees here of drinking. The first of all, drinking parties is where you might go and just have one drink. But nevertheless, it's drinking parties. And then there's revelries where there's much drinking going on, and it covers that as well. And Peter says that we've spent enough time in our lifetime doing this sort of thing. And then the last degree is drunkenness. And these are the people who go to the extent that they drink a great deal and lose their life into alcohol. And I sometimes don't want to use personal experiences, but I can't get them out of my mind. When I think of my family in East Texas and the degree of drunkenness that many of them had. I had an uncle that worked at the courthouse in Longview, Texas. On every floor where he worked, he kept a bottle hid. And he was an alcoholic. And I've seen that so much in my family that I understand completely how evil it is and what a detriment it is to human families, because it tears up families and causes so much pain in through these things. And so it's condemned as a work of the flesh. The social drinker, we looked in 2 Peter 4, is not abstaining from every form of evil. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, that we're to abstain from every form of evil. Now, look at that a couple of ways. When evil appears, we abstain from it, whatever form it may have. But the whole thing is that we're not the people that live under those circumstances. And he's setting a terrible example in a potential young person. And so many people are led to drink because of examples of their families or because of their friends. And that would be the revelries that go on. And then that occasional person that drinks, he just said he's a social drinker. Well, he's supporting the industry. And there is something inside of this drinking alcohol that many don't realize or accept, and that is the addiction that it occurs. It has the power to cause an addiction. And so people wind up with alcoholism because they have begun to imbibe and they can't control that addiction that happens. And it destroys so many families in America because of that. And again, it was condemned as a work of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. I want to talk now a little bit about the drugs, because it said, and that we get the word pharmacy. Let me see, the sorcery comes from the word pharmacia in the Greek. And what it says in sorcery, the use of the drugs, whether simple or potent, was generally accompanied by incantations and appeals to occult powers, with the provision of various charms or amulets, professedly designed to keep the applicant or patient from the attention and power of demons, but actually to impress the applicant with the mysterious resources and powers of the sorcerer. So the word sorcery is used in Galatians chapter 5, has a root word from which we get pharmacy. Now, we understand that there are many of us that have to have certain medicines in order to continue to live. But at the same time, it can be used also as this sorcery, or a dependent upon drugs, even among Christians, a dependent upon drugs that becomes an addiction within itself. So we have to be very careful of what we use. And in the ancient world, the sorcerers used some of those things in order to impress the people and get them to follow their lead into some kind of occult religion. So these things are connected. We're not just looking at something that's independent in itself, but we're looking at things that lead to one another. And the word addiction must be understood. That there's some things that you think, well, I would never be addicted to that. But all it takes is just one time. I read recently that one of the most powerful drugs today is fentanyl. And recently, they were caught coming across the southern border with enough fentanyl to kill every person in America. Well, these things are going out to teenagers, and they're going out to people who use those things indiscriminately, and it's killing thousands of people. Now, I know that this doesn't describe you, but I'm saying to those who listen on the website that I know that there are many people in America that have been caught in that kind of condition. And it hurts their bodies, it hurts their minds. I really wish I could have shown you, and I'll try to do that in the future sometime, the before and after pictures of people who've been on methamphetamines and other kinds of drugs. They break out in hives, and their face is scarred. They lose their teeth. They lose their beauty. They're just a shell of what they once were, when you see what that effect is going. And so we have to understand that even what we call pharmaceuticals can sometimes hurt us as well, and be careful not to overindulge in those. And the book of Proverbs has some things to say about this self-control. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 4 and 5. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of the afflicted. So people in high places can sometimes be addicted to that. And many, many times there have been people caught drunk driving, even up in high political circles, and among rich people as well, and Hollywood figures, because they drink to excess. And I couldn't begin to imagine how many people have been killed by drunk drivers. It takes all the time right here in Tarrant County. And people drink and drive, and the end result is they'll be in the wrong lane and meet somebody. And recently, someone was driving for 3 miles in the wrong lane and head-on collided with somebody and killed some people. Now, that's simply because of an addiction and the lack of self-control. And the Bible is saying that we ought to do that. Then in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 7, but they have also erred through wine, through intoxicating drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Well, I've seen all that happen right here in this country. And I remember when John Kennedy died and they had his funeral. By the time the priest got through the funeral, he was dog drunk. He could hardly speak. And I remember that very well because they had a mass and then another mass and then a mess. And the end result was that they got drunk as they had that funeral. Well, you know, people incorporate that, some even in religion. The Catholic Church has a true wine, alcoholic beverage, in their mass. Even some members of the Church of Christ have fermented wine on the Lord's table. And if you know anything at all about how fermented wine takes place, you recognize that in the Passover, where the Lord's Supper was instituted, it had to be free of all yeast. And so the bread was unleavened, just like we used this morning. And the wine is called wine, but it's grape juice. And Isaiah talked about wine in the, in the cluster, wine in the cluster. So the word wine does not always mean a fermented drink. The word wine can mean just grape juice. Well, I know that the grape juice that the Lord used was unfermented in the Lord's table because when it begins to ferment, it has yeast in it. And that would be a violation of the Passover feast, which he did, and he was. And so we have to look at these things and recognize that there's all around us. You could give in to this just by having a drink at home. And I remember our daughter one time coming home. She had spent the night with a young friend of hers about the same age. And she came talking about how the parents had wine in their refrigerator at home. Well, that young girl that was a friend of my daughter became an alcoholic. She had seen the parents drink it and considered it okay. And so there's a lot of influence about that. And we have to recognize that it impairs sobriety, it impairs self-control, and people do things under the influence of alcohol they would never have done otherwise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We don't have the right to say that we're going to do what we want to do. Not if we belong to Christ. I am so insulted when I hear people say, "Well, a woman has a right to her body." Well, that may be true in some degree, but it doesn't have an extension to the innocent child in the womb. And they say, "Well, I've got my rights." Well, that baby has its rights too. And the Lord declared that he knew Isaiah while he was in the womb. And when Jesus and Elizabeth, or rather Mary and Elizabeth met when they were both pregnant with Jesus and John, the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb. It had thinking, it had life, it had breath. And I know that this is one of my soapboxes about abortion and things going on. Do you realize that the first bill that was passed in the new Congress was the funding of abortion throughout the world? Your tax dollars and mine are being used to fund abortion, and we have no choice over that because the government is allowing it to take place. And there has to be a special kind of ignorance, a special kind of stupidity, and evil for somebody to think that it's okay to destroy flesh. Last year alone, there were 41 million abortions. I can't understand that. I just can't understand how somebody can be so callous about that sort of thing. But you have other ways to destroy the body. Of course, it's through alcohol. It destroys brain cells. It destroys some cells in the eye. And it has other effects in the body that are detrimental. But tobacco, and I don't say much about tobacco because I don't think many of us are smoking. But the idea that it damages the lungs and heart and brain and skin and contributes to cancer. In Florida, we went to a museum, and there was a Chinese display where they had taken corpses of Chinese, had stripped them down so that you could see the different organs of the body. And it had a display of two sets of lungs. One set was pink because they were non-smoker. The other set of lungs looked like charcoal because they were smoking and ruining their lungs. There was a wastebasket down by the front of that set of lungs that looked so dark, and it was full of cigarettes. People were getting rid of their cigarettes when they saw the actual effect of what their lungs looked like when someone smokes. And somebody says, well, you know, this is one of the things that I enjoy, and it makes me calm, and various and certain kind, other kinds of things. The point is, it's detrimental to your body, and your body does not belong to you. It belongs to God, and we need to understand that. Now then, we're seeing something come up in Congress in different states where they're going to legalize marijuana. I will say that I don't have any objections to medical marijuana if it's actually proved to help someone with cancer or some other disease. But when you look at the marijuana from standpoint of just a social thing and doing it because they want to do that, the governor of Arizona, I believe it's Arizona, who legalized social marijuana, said that he had no idea of the effect it was going to be, and he wished they had never done it. Well, when I've seen people who smoke marijuana and are addicted to it, and they don't have any initiative. They're somewhat like robots. They just sort of exist. And I could name some of my family that does that, so that I know the effect of it, and don't tell me that it doesn't have any detrimental effect. Of course it does, because it alters your perspective and things of that nature. So we're going to be seeing a lot of that. And I've been noticing also that the teens have what's called an epidemic of going to the pipes, or what are they called? And when you look at that, there are many, many, many teens that are doing that, and the cancer rate is going to grow because it's nicotine in that. One of the greatest poisons in the world is nicotine, and it's used sometimes to destroy bugs and that sort of thing, but it's also destroying human lives because people don't understand the power of nicotine. And so cocaine is another thing that we hear a lot about, and again, that's being brought in from other countries, but cocaine destroys the brain and controls the brain. We've got a certain kind of stimulants, and I see a lot of stimulants. Can't recall some of the names, but they're little bottles of things that you buy to have a lot of energy. And it's artificial. It's something that people have made just to have money, and they're selling many, many units of those things. And the end result is a lot of people are drinking those energy drinks that's going to alter the way they act and the way they operate. Then hallucinogens. Of course, we've heard a lot about Mr. Leary and the drug that he was trying to get across to anybody. But anything that you inhale goes into your lungs. I've heard people say, well, I smoke cigars, but I don't inhale. So I heard two men arguing about which is going to be the prettier corpse. If you smoke cigars and don't inhale, you may have lip cancer. That wouldn't be very pretty. But if you smoke cigarettes, you may have lung cancer and die, but you won't look as ugly as the person that lost their lips. So, you know, there's all kinds of reasonings about these sort of things, but the end result is that it's not good. And they are addictive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now that's a good resolve for the new year. I haven't said much about the new year resolutions and that sort of thing, but it's really a good thing to say, I'm not going to be under the power of anything addictive. let's be sure that we include food in that. The Bible condemns gluttony. And I usually stop just a little bit short of gluttony. I don't want to actually cross the line. But truly, gluttony is a sin as well. And the Romans used to have these feasts where they would have the servants and slaves bring in all of this food, and they would get so full that they couldn't eat anymore. So they'd have a slave come up with a pan of water, rose water, and a feather. And they would stick that down their throat and make them vomit. Then they could eat more. I wouldn't want to be at a party like that. I've smelled vomit before. It's not anything that I really want to be about. But in the English Standard Version, the word under the power means enslaved by. And I don't want to be enslaved by anything except Jesus Christ, because I know the outcome of that. In Romans 13, the Bible talks about the power of the government. It says in chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." And people will break the law to get what they want. Well, you see, getting what they want may be addictive and sinful in itself, but you're also violating the law of God, because God established authority. Now, it's not that people always have the right kind of authority. They may abuse the authority. But nevertheless, rules are made for Christians to follow to keep ourselves from those kinds of things. And they do those things. So they are illegal from that standpoint. Now, the book of Proverbs, and I really couldn't do justice to this lesson if I didn't look at the book of Proverbs. If you'll go with me, please, first of all, to chapter 20. Now, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Now, this is something that we have to read and understand. This is inspired of God. Chapter 20, verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." I remember Pauline's half-brother came to see us one time in Crockett, Texas. His mother lived in Houston, and so he would go to visit his mother in Houston. But every time he went to Houston, he went to a bar. And every time he went to a bar, he got in a fight. Well, we hadn't been around him very much, so we invited him up to visit with us at Crockett, Texas. And we cooked steaks on the grill. And they were wasted as far as he was concerned. His teeth were so loose from fighting in a bar that he couldn't eat. And so we enjoyed the steaks very much because we didn't brawl. But wine is a mocker, and it has that kind of effect. Now, the real thing that we look at is Proverbs chapter 23, beginning with verse 29. And this is something that is so true, it just cannot be gainsaid. In verse 29, "Who has woe, who has sorrow, who has contentions, who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine, those who go to search a mixed wine. Do not look at the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. Your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you'll be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, 'They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink?'" You know, that's just such common sense. Like I said in the beginning, if I were not a Bible believer, I could look at this and I could see that in society all over the place. And I recognize that I'm not supposed to drink like that. And it brings misery and ruin and loss upon so many people. So we ask the question, why do people drink? If it's so bad. I was with my father in the pickup that he was driving one time, and he reached under the seat. He always kept a pint of whiskey under the seat. And he took a drink, and then he frowned and shook his head. And I said, "Daddy, if it hurts so bad, why do you drink?" He didn't like that. He said a few things to me about that. But you know, why in the world do people drink? Well, it's addictive, but also sometimes it starts with peer pressure. Young people get together, they're going to have a party, and so they get drunk. And somebody graduates from high school, they go get drunk. Somebody graduates from college, they get drunk. Somebody gets married, and they get drinking at the wedding. I've seen members of the church that had alcoholic beverages at their wedding ceremony. Well, you're just inviting people to have troubles. We ought not to do that kind of thing. So peer pressure is important. Then somebody says, well, I want to be a man. I want to be a woman. I want to take charge of my life. So I'm going to drink, and I'm going to smoke, and I'm going to do pot to prove that you're a person. Good folks, you're a person before you do that. You become less of a person after you start that kind of thing. And we need to be sure that people understand that. Then some get addicted because of medical reasons. I've known people to do that. They get addicted because they go to the doctor and they get enough drugs. And they actually become addicted to what the doctor has prescribed for them. And we have to be careful, walk a tight line, but recognize that I'm not going to be enslaved by any of those things. We try to do what the doctor says, but the doctor's not always right. And so we have to be careful about that. Then there's some people that says, oh, the world is just so bad, I've got to get high. And how many enjoyed hearing John Denver talk about Rocky Mountain High? Beautiful voice. But he even said that he and his friends would get up on the mountaintop and get high. And that's what a lot of people think they've got to do. The life is unpleasant. I don't like my boss. I don't like my husband or my wife. And so I've got to get high to overcome those kinds of things. So they try to escape reality. And some people are just sold on the fact that it has a certain amount of carnal pleasure. But remember what Moses said, that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, I know that I'm talking to members of the church here who are not guilty of these kinds of things. But I hope that those who listen on the website at some point will recognize that if they're guilty of drinking and smoking and marijuana and all those kinds of addictive things, they're ruining their life. We encourage people to turn to Christ. He is the real solution for all those things. In Christ you get strength. In Christ you find the real people who will help you and work with you in fellowship to make you a child of God. So if there's anyone here this morning, and you may do this privately, you may have some addiction that I don't know about. It certainly is true. Now, when I lived in North Carolina, a lot of the women dipped snuff. I don't see anybody dipping snuff much today. And somebody said, what does it feel like when you dip snuff? And the person said, well, if you take your top lip and put it on the back of your head, that's how it feels to dip snuff. Well, some people sure did like that, because I'd go to visit homes and I'd see them push the spit tune under the bed. Well, we find humor in those kinds of things, but in the addiction, it's not funny at all. So I hope and pray that none of you has a secret addiction. And if you do, that you'll find a way to overcome it, not be enslaved or under the power of anything like that. And turn to Jesus Christ for the real answers. If life is tough for you, you need to find the Lord. We have members of the church that get into trouble and they quit the Lord. They quit the church. Well, that's just another terrible problem they bring upon themselves. And we try to tell them, come back to the Lord. If anyone here this morning needs to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we always keep it open so that people can. And we sing a song of encouragement that people might come and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that's you in any way, if you need to repent of sins as a Christian, that is public knowledge, or if you have something secret in your life, go to God in privacy and repent of those things and ask Him to forgive you, and He will. If you need to obey the gospel of Christ this morning, we ask you to come forward while we stand together and sing the invitation number.